Amen. Let's read Joshua chapter 12 together, shall we? Now these are the kings of the land whom the people of Israel defeated and took possession of their land beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise, from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon, with all the Arabah eastward. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and from the middle of the valley as far as the river Jabbok. The boundary of the Ammonites, that is half of Gilead, and the Arabah to the sea of Chinneroth eastward, and in the direction of Beth Jeshimoth to the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, southward to the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. And Og, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of the Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edra. Is there a sheep in the house? God's found me though.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen, brother. Og, king of Bashan, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and ruled over Mount Hermon and Selekah and all Bashan, to the boundary of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and over half of Gilead, to the boundary of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the people of Israel defeated them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave their land for a possession to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the people of Israel defeated on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak that rises towards Seir. And Joshua gave their land to the tribes of Israel as a possession, according to their allotments in the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, in the slopes, in the wilderness, and in the Negeb, the land of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I always feel like adding on any other parasites whenever I read that. The king of Jericho won. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon, one. The king of Giza, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Gedda, one. The king of Hormah, one. The king of Arad, one. The king of Libna, one. The king of Adullam, one. The king of Machadah, one. The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hepher, one. The king of Aphek, one. The king of Lasharon, one. The king of Madon, one. The king of Hazor, one. The king of Shimron Meron, one. The king of Akshaf, one. The king of Tarnach, one. The king of Megiddo, one. The king of Kedesh, one. The king of Jokneam in Carmel, one. The king of Dor in Naphath Dor, one. The king of Goyim in Galilee, one. The king of Tirzah, one. In all, 31 kings. So So this chapter marks a sort of demarcation in the book of Joshua. So in the first few chapters, the focus was on taking the land that God had promised them. And after this chapter, the focus shifts towards how that one land is then allocated out to the different tribes of Israel. So this chapter is basically a summary of all the victories that not only happened under Joshua's leadership, but also happened under Moses' leadership. The victories that Joshua won to the west of the River Jordan, but also those previously won under Moses' leadership to the east of the Jordan. Now, with chapters like this, it's sometimes hard, isn't it, for us to see like the significance of what we can gain from them, because they just seem to be a list of stuff, a list of things, and there's lots of places in the Bible that do this. But it's really important that we don't miss what God is saying to us here and what we can learn from this. So with any book in the Bible, whenever we open the Bible, we need to remember where we are in the bigger picture. And in the book of Joshua, we're in a part of the Bible that's in the Old Testament, and it's a part of the Bible that is, we always have to remember, is pointing towards a bigger reality. It's never meant to be the finished plan. It's always pointing towards something greater. And we saw this, didn't we? And we've seen this as we've gone all the way from Genesis to Deuteronomy and now on into Joshua, how all the things that happened to the Israelites were pointing towards a salvation that would be bigger than that, pointing towards Jesus and this salvation that Jesus would accomplish for his people. So the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, but God rescued them by the hand of a deliverer, Moses, and he took them to a land that he'd promised. That was all pointing towards God's ultimate salvation through Jesus, where a people bound in slavery, not to Egypt, but to sin, would ultimately be rescued by a deliverer, not Moses this time, but Jesus, and led to a promised land, not Canaan this time, but heaven. For those who've trusted in Jesus, God is leading them heavenward. However, there are battles on the way, that even if he wins, we're active in those battles. And as we submit ourselves to him in trust and obedience, he shows himself faithful to us. I'll say that again, okay? There are battles on the way that even though he wins, we are active in. And as we submit ourselves to him in trust and obedience, he shows himself to be faithful to us. So what's this list in Joshua chapter 12 really all about? And it all boils down to this. And if there's nothing else that you take from this morning, this is like the crux of the sermon. Yeah. So what's this list really all about? That God will always do what he says he will do. God will always do what he says he will do. What's another way of saying that? He is faithful. What's another way of saying it? He always keeps his promises. He always does what he says he will do. God had promised his people what? That he would give them the land. That he would get rid of, he would conquer every king. And he would give them the land. And this chapter here is an explicit reminder, an explicit step-by-step list of how he's done it. How he's done what he said he would do. Now, I need to just jump very briefly to towards the end of Joshua, to kind of give a little mini spoiler, but it's not really a mini spoiler because you know it anyway, right? But in Joshua chapter 23, if you could put this verse up, that'd be great. Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, Joshua says this just before he's about to die. So Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. And now I'm about to go the way of the earth. And you know in your hearts and your souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. This is the anthem that will echo through all eternity. Not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God has promised you. This list is a reminder that God keeps his word. Are the battles hard? Yes, of course they are. The clue's in the title, battle. Are they hard? Yes. Is it a struggle? Yes. Will God keep his promises for his people? Yes. Not one good promise of the Lord will fail. Ever.
Amen.
Amen. I think sometimes we miss God's faithfulness to us in life because we miss the details, the little things that he's doing in our lives. Imagine being a soldier in Israel and getting to the end of all those battles, weary, scarred, probably lost some of your mates, and you'd probably just be there, wouldn't you, thinking, how on earth did I get here? Like, it's just like a whirlwind sometimes, isn't it? And you end up somewhere and you're just like, how on earth did I get here? Well, this is how it happened. The list in chapter 12. I conquered this king, then 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 I conquered this king. And as the soldier remembers each individual battle, suddenly they're like, oh yeah, that's how I got here. Because God was faithful to me every single step of the way. Like, he never let me down. And they're just like, oh yeah, I remember now. That's how we got here. Because God never let me down. Do we do that in our lives? Do we remember the times, like list the times that God has been faithful to us? And we can do it with so many things. Look, I can just do it with Hill City Church. Like, quite often we probably think, how did we get here? Like, how did we end up here? Well, I'll tell you. We started off just meeting in someone's living room. And then God gave us like Cold Barn Farm at Trevethin. Then we moved down to the leisure centre for a bit. Then we were in the Methodist church for a bit. Then we moved here. And out the back was just a load of rubble. Then he gave us loads of money. Were we involved with the battle? Oh, did you just like lay down and do nothing? No, we were involved. Was it tough? Yeah. But he won that battle for us. Like, how did we get here? Because every single step of the way, God was faithful. How do I know he's going to be faithful into the future? Because he's been faithful in the past. I've got no reason whatsoever to doubt God. No reason whatsoever. Like, any element of doubt that comes into your mind about God is a lie, because he's proven himself faithful to you over and over and over again. I can do that like with the church. I can do it in my own life. I looked at a picture on the wall in Naomi's dad's house the other day, and it had, like, you know, those little, the frames you get with different sections, and my family was in there. If you'd have showed me that picture 20 years ago, I just wouldn't, and someone said, this is gonna be your family 20 years down the line. There's no way, not in my wildest dreams, I could have envisioned that. 20 years ago, on the 2nd of June, I wasn't even a Christian. 6 days after that, on the 8th of June, 2004, 20 years ago, I became a Christian. 20 years. And I had no idea what God was going to do in my life. And I wake up every day like I'm in a whirlwind with our family. How did I get here? Well, listen, he beat this king in my life. He beat this king. 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 And then 31 kings down the line, I'm here. Same as you. You can track the path for your life. It's personal for you. Like, as I'm speaking, you join the dots. You find those moments that God has shown himself faithful in your life. Not one good word has failed of all the good things that the Lord has promised concerning you. Not one good word has failed. I'd encourage you to go back and look at all the times that God has been faithful in your life. See what he's done. Count your blessings one by one. Like, there's an old hymn. So listen to how the old hymn writer exhorts us today. They write this. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Now, like I said, it's going to be personal to you because it's what God's done in your life. But to finish today, I want to make a list, a little list, of conquered kings that applies to anyone who's put their trust in Jesus. Now, for those who haven't trusted Christ, then these promises aren't true for them yet. But the good news is that while you still have breath in your lungs, you can choose to trust Jesus and follow him, and then these things can be true for you too. As I read this list out of conquered kings, people who've trusted in Jesus will be encouraged, and people who haven't will taste and see that the Lord is good and that you can trust him too. Let today be the day that you commit yourself to him and trust him. And these are some of the great and mighty kings that Jesus defeated for his people as they marched with him towards the promised land. The king of condemnation, one. Jesus was condemned in my place on the cross, and he took the punishment for what I deserve. Now there's no condemnation for those who trust in Christ Jesus. The king of condemnation, one. The king of unforgiveness, one. Because I've trusted in Jesus and his work on the cross, I'm forgiven of all my sins. And I'm redeemed. He's rescued me from the domain of darkness. And he's transferred me into the kingdom of light, in whom I now have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The King of Unforgiveness won. The King of Worthlessness won. Someone is worth whatever someone is willing to pay. Jesus bought me with his blood. That's what I'm worth to him. That's what you're worth to him. I've been bought with a price. And I belong to God. The King of Worthlessness won. The King of Loneliness won. I've been adopted into the greatest family on earth. God is my father, Jesus is my brother, and my fellow believers are my brothers and sisters. As a family, Jesus has promised that he will never leave or forsake us, ever, as a family. So I will never be alone. The King of Loneliness won. The Kings of Unfulfillment and Discontent one and one. I know that in Christ, I'm complete. I'm complete. And I lack nothing. I lack nothing. The Kings of Unfulfillment and Discontent, one and one. The King of Insignificance won. Even if it feels like I'm insignificant and unworthy, I know that I've been chosen by God and appointed to bear fruit. I'm his workmanship. And he's made me a minister of reconciliation for him. The King of Insignificance won. Let's just look at one last king this morning. It's not as catchy as the others, but I think it's going to hit home. The King of Who are you kidding? You're never going to make it. One. I know that he who has begun a good work in me will complete it. Amen. To the day of Christ Jesus. Listen, he is committed to making me like Jesus. He is committed to making you like Jesus. And one day, he will present me faultless before his throne with exceeding joy. The King of Who Are You Kidding? You're Never Gonna Make It. One. Many other strong and powerful kings were defeated as Jesus marched his people home. And not one good word failed of all the good things the Lord had promised concerning them. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you're faithful. Thank you so much, Lord, that you're victorious for us in battle. Lord, maybe there's like transition time in people's lives where they're kind of moving from one section of the book to another. And it's more important ever than now to just recall all the times you've been faithful in the past, to just use it as fuel for our faith. I thank you so much, Lord, that not one good word of yours towards your people has ever failed, and that you will take us safely home. In Jesus' name, amen.